If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24 this evening. Luke chapter number 24. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Kids, you did a great job singing. I love when you just sing with all of your heart. I mean, you just rear back and let her rip, Tater Chip. I love it. It's good stuff. And where's Paul at? Paul, great job on the violin. You know, I'm a brass guy. You know, I got a lot of hot air, they tell me. But that was fantastic. I loved it. It was really great. And so you all were a blessing. Thank you so much for singing tonight. Workers, thank you so much for all the work that you did. And kids, I am super duper excited about Junior Church starting up in just 2 weeks. I mean, I hadn't had much coffee today, but I'm a little bit excited tonight. But I cannot wait for Junior Church to start. My wife's over here in the second row, and she can't wait for Junior Church to start. I mean, we are pumped. We are excited. And so Junior Church is starting in just 2 weeks. And Children's Church, and we're looking so forward to it. So I hope you'll come, and I hope you'll invite your friends to church. We're going to have a great time together in Junior Church and Children's Church. We're looking forward to it. Great job tonight. Aren't you glad that you serve a risen Savior? Muhammad's dead. Joseph Smith is gone, but Jesus is alive and well today. And we come again to be reminded and celebrate that Jesus is living and we can talk to him today. And that is a great, great, great reminder. Luke chapter number 24, we're going to begin reading in verse number 28 and following. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Verse number 32, the Bible says, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Luke chapter 24 is a familiar chapter to most of us. Of course, it's a resurrection chapter. We find out about these two disciples. They were on their way. They're on the road to Emmaus. It was about a 7.5-8 mile walk. And as they were walking, we find out that these two disciples were discouraged. You see, the last 3.5 years of their life, they'd spent their lives with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there, they were doing, going about their regular lives, and then up walked somebody who was a wonderful person, the Lord Jesus. Unlike anybody else, perhaps, that they had seen, they watched his manner, they saw the things that he did. This person would touch the blind eye, and the blind eye would see again. They touched the dumb mouth, and that person would speak again. They touched the deaf ear, and that person who could hear could actually hear again. He was unlike any other person that these people had ever saw. He was a wonderful person, and he gave them a wonderful purpose. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He said to Matthew, he said these two words, "Follow me," and these people, these doctors, these fishermen, these tax collectors, they left all that they were doing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Their entire life was wrapped up in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were with him when he fed the 5,000. They were the ones helping pass out the bread. They were the ones helping pass out the fish. They were the ones that were helping the Lord Jesus as he ministered. Perhaps they were there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They had to roll a stone away so Lazarus could get out. But they were with Jesus, and their lives were wrapped up in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, we all know the account today that Jesus died a woeful death. He was made the villain. He was made somebody who was going to be sin for us. He was spit upon. They platted a crown of thorns and they put it upon his head. They bowed the knee before him. They mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They stripped him. They put on a scarlet robe. And he suffered so much for you and for me. And these disciples, these men, they knew the Lord Jesus. Their life was wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. But now, he's gone. He's dead. And they're discouraged and they don't know exactly what to do yet. He's been our life for the last 3.5 years, but where is he now? As they're discouraged, of course, they walk down the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says here that Jesus met up with them, but their eyes were holding that they did not know that it was him. And as they were walking, this man who they did not know walked up to them and he rehearsed with them the things that have happened in the last couple of days. Hey guys, why are you sad? Why are you upset? Why are you discouraged? And they tell him about Jesus, who's a prophet, mighty in word and deed. And as they're walking with him, Jesus is there with them and he begins to expound unto him them the scriptures. And as they're sitting there, or walking there rather, the Bible says that Jesus, he expounded unto the scriptures. The Bible says in verse number 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But then we come to verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I want you to underline, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, did not our heart burn within us? How many of you ever had a good old case of heartburn, yes? Many of you who know me know that one of my favorite pastimes is what? Eating stuff. I love to eat. My mom's here. She's came down. My brother and his wife came down and surprised me for Easter today. What a great surprise. My mom will tell you that my son Kevin is a garbage disposal. And when I go out to eat with my wife, I love this. She eats kind of like a rabbit, sorry. But she never finishes her food. And so you know what? It comes down the line to moi. And I fulfill the food's destiny. And I love to eat. And I love to eat spicy things. My favorite thing at Chick-fil-A is a number two. For those of you who go to Chick-fil-A a lot, that is a spicy chicken sandwich. Can I get an amen? With lettuce, tomato, two packets of mayonnaise. Forget the fries. I'll get fruit instead because I want to be healthy, you know? And I'll drink water with it. I love to eat, but occasionally I'll eat something a little bit too spicy and I'll get heartburn. No es bueno. Heartburn is very, very uncomfortable if you've had it. It happens from time to time. And you just know that's that feeling that you get. Oh, man, I need to take a Tums or a Pepsi or I need to go get one of those pills that help me stop having heartburn. Heartburn is very uncomfortable. But here in Luke 24, we have a good case of heartburn. I think it's a case of heartburn perhaps that's missing in the lives of a lot of Christians. Did you know that the word heart in the Bible is found over 800 times? There's a lot of emphasis on the heart in the Bible. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. On Wednesday nights recently, we've been learning about the heart. We've been going through the book of 1 Samuel. We've learned that God, he doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God sees with his heart and God sees the heart. The heart is the seat of our spirituality. And these disciples, after they spent a little time with the Lord Jesus Christ, after they walked with him a little while, after they'd been with him, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? You know, I'm praying that Christians get a passion and that they get a desire, not just to serve God, but to walk with God, but to be with him, but to fellowship with him. We heard just a couple of weeks ago in the book of Revelation that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. That's not necessarily talking about salvation, but what it is talking is that Jesus wants to sup with you, and Jesus wants to sup with me. And where is that good, holy heartburn? For the next few moments tonight, very, very briefly, I hope you'll listen as we preach on this subject. Do you have heartburn? Do you have heartburn? Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who died for us, was buried, and resurrected. And that he was seen of many people. Lord, thank you for the scriptures that tell us about this. Thank you that our salvation is based on what thus saith the Lord. I pray tonight, God, that you'd help me to preach your word and help us tonight. Speak to us. I pray that we'd leave differently than when we came. Thank you, Lord, for these precious young people that sang their hearts out and the workers that helped them. And thank you that they can sing about the truth of the Lord Jesus. We love you. We pray you bless now and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, how do you get that holy heartburn? Number one, it comes from a walk that is personal. It comes from a walk that is personal. If you look, please, at verse number, let's back it up, verse number 13. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known these things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it would have been he that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said, that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Keep going. Verse number 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools of slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Here's what we're talking about. These disciples were discouraged and they were sad and they were walking. Jesus came up next to them and you know what he does? He rehearses with them. "Hey fellas, why are you sad? What's going on in your life right now? What's happening? Why are you talking like this? Why are you, do you got your heads down? Why are you so discouraged?" And the Lord Jesus rehearses with them everything that's been going on. It's a walk that is personal. Hey, listen, I'm so glad that when we go into God's presence, we can enter with boldness. That literally means we can say anything that we need to say to God. And as they're walking with him, they're rehearsing, "Well, here's what's been going on in our lives right now. Our lives have been all about this man, the God man named Jesus. And he did so many great things. He touched the blind eye and the deaf ear and so forth. But now he's gone. He's dead. And we don't know where he is." They said that perhaps he's risen. "We can't find his body. And we don't know what's going on." And Jesus, he listens. I remind you, and I hope you never get over this, but you can go to Christ anytime. He's not going to boot you out. He's not going to say, "Well, you've been here too long. You need to go now." He's not going to throw you out. There's never a bad time when you can go and rehearse things to the Lord God. There's never a bad time when you can talk to Jesus. You can talk to him anytime. I live in Stuart, so I'm talking to God a lot of times when I'm driving down I-95. Amen. But there's not a time that is a bad time to rehearse with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a walk that was personal. He rehearsed with them the things that were going on. Verse number 26, he reminded them. Verse number 26, the Bible says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" I remind you what these disciples said in verse number 21. "But we trusted," that word is past tense. I'm not really good at grammaring, but that word means it's past tense. They trusted. You know what? Jesus and past tense don't go together. Jesus is alive today. But he reminds them in verse number 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And I like this. He revealed himself unto them. Look at verse number 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You know what Jesus did? Jesus preached Jesus. He revealed himself to these disciples. I can't imagine just walking the road. I would have loved to have been there on that day to see what Jesus was saying as he's revealing himself. Oh, I'm going to get a little bit excited here. I just had an energy drink a little bit ago, so you're going to have to excuse me. But I'm getting excited thinking about what Jesus could have said. In Genesis, he was the seed of a woman. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he was the high priest. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he was the greater prophet. In Joshua, he was the captain of the Lord of the host. In Judges, he was the deliverer. In the book of Ruth, he was the kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he was the all-in-one prophet, priest, and king. In 2 Samuel, he was the king of grace. In 1 Kings, he was the ruler greater than Solomon. In 2 Kings, he was the powerful prophet. In 1 Chronicles, he was the son of David. In 2 Chronicles, he's the eternal king. In Ezra, he's the prince of freedom. In Nehemiah, he's the restorer. In Esther, he's the protector. In Job, he's the mediator. In Psalms, he's our song. The Lord Jesus can be found from Genesis all the way through. I remind you that the book that you have in your lap tonight, even though it had several different authors, it was written over 1,000 years, it has one main theme, and that main theme is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And there on that road to Emmaus, these discouraged disciples are hearing Jesus reveal himself unto them. And I'm telling you what, once you get into the scriptures and once you walk and talk a little while with the Lord Jesus Christ, you might get a little bit of holy heartburn, which is a good thing. They walked with him. They talked with him. He rehearsed with them. He reminded them. He rebuked them. He revealed himself to them. There was a walk that was personal. Secondly, tonight, very quickly, there was not only a walk that was personal, but there was a wanting of his presence. A wanting of his presence. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 28. The Bible says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went." And listen to the language here. "And he made as though he would have gone further." I like this. "But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them." There was a wanting of his presence. As the account goes here in Luke chapter number 24, they were walking, they were enjoying themselves together. Jesus was revealing himself to them. He was going through, talking about what the prophets had said, talking about what Moses had said, and they were excited to be with the Lord Jesus, but they came to the place where they were going. They came to the house, and Jesus met like he was going to keep on walking. But the Bible says that these disciples constrained him. You know what that is? Friendly violence. That literally means they put their hands on him and they brought him in the house. "Hey, stay. The walk's been so good. Why don't you come by the house and stay a little while?" I think the Lord Jesus ought to be welcome in all of our homes. I think the Lord Jesus ought to stay a little while. Listen, do you want the presence of Christ? Do you want to know the presence of Christ? We find that he was going to pass on, but we find something very, very interesting. Look, please, at verse number 30. "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them." So let me explain what's going on. If Andy was here, he would tell you I'm not a great house guest. I came over his house, ate all his food, and, you know, everything that was there. So you might remember that back in the day. But as a house guest, you have a host and then you have the guest. But Jesus does something very interesting in this text. He walks into their house, but he turns it around. He becomes the host. Think about this. He walks into the kitchen and he knows exactly where everything is. He knows where the forks are. He knows where the knives are. He knows where the good food is. And he knows where everything is. And he prepares a meal for these disciples probably like they'd never had before. It's something somewhat of a paradox. He goes in there. He's supposed to be the guest, but he becomes the host. And all I'm trying to say tonight is God has a desire to sup with you. He has a desire to fellowship with you. And when you sit down at his feet and you listen to his word, and you listen to the scriptures and you get the little heartburn, God gives you something good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You young people, I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to know, I could talk about what God's done in my life all I want, and I could give you testimony after testimony of how God's been faithful in my life, but you know what? I want you all to experience that for yourself. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, we've already talked about Chick-fil-A tonight, but I can describe to you how juicy that chicken filet is, and you bite into it, and it's like, oh, this is so very good. I think I might get another one, and another one, and another one, and I might get one on Saturday so I can have it on Sunday, and I can describe to you how good this thing sandwich is, but until you taste it for yourself, all you're going to hear me talk and drool and talk about it, it really doesn't mean anything. Brother Kevin, would you please be quiet about that sandwich? I want you to taste and see that it's good. Here's what I'm saying. You could talk about the Lord all you want, but we want you to experience God in your own life. We want you to know, teenagers, I want you to listen to this. We could talk about God's faithfulness in our own lives, but I want you all to experience it yourself. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself. Don't just listen to somebody else talk about somebody else experience something, God doing something in their life. You get out there and live by faith and walk with God, and you experience and taste and see for yourself that God is good. Holy heartburn. Walk that was personal. a wanting of his presence. Thirdly, tonight, very, very quickly, a word of power. He gave them a word of power. Look, please, in verse number 32, the Bible says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed." I like that. The Lord is risen indeed. He ain't dead. He ain't asleep. He's alive. "And he hath appeared to Simon." Verse 35, "And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." Verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you." He'd already talked to these disciples by the way, and now he's with the other disciples, and Jesus stood in the midst of them, and he said, peace be unto you. You know what? You want to stay stirred up for the Lord? You want to have heartburn? You want to have passion for God? You want to serve God with all your heart, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? You need to get a word that is powerful. Listen, this isn't a self-help book. This isn't Oprah Windbag. This isn't Dr. Phil. This isn't some self-help thing that you can get. This is the word of God. This is God's letter to you. It's everything that he wants you and I to know about him. And if you want to serve God, you've got to be tied up with this book. You've got to get in the book, and you got to let the book get in you. For all 15 of you that watch the B&B show, I always close it. Get off Facebook and get in the book. Get in the book. He gave a word of power. Again, this isn't like any other book that's ever been written. He gave them a word of power. No wonder their hearts were burning within them, because they got a taste of the word of God. It's not like any other book that's ever been written. It's a wonderful book. It's a powerful book. It's a book that's a two-edged sword. It's a book that's inspired of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We have God's word, and Jesus again giving them a word of power. You want to be effective for God? You got to be in his word. Show me your relationship with the Bible, and I'll show you relationship with Christ. A walk that was personal. There was a wanting of his presence. There was a word of power. Lastly tonight, very quickly, there's a witness to people. There was a witness to people. Verse number 44, we're going to keep going. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding. They said that they might understand the scriptures. Excuse me. Verse number 48, drop down to that one. The Bible says, "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." It's a natural progression. When you walk with Christ, when you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the walk's so good, you get a wanting of his presence. Hey, it was so good, I want a little bit more of it. It was so good talking with Jesus, and it was so good walking with Jesus. Give me a little bit more. And you're walking with him personally. And then you want his presence. He gives you a word of power. And then the natural outflow of that is a witness to people. We try to make witnessing a goal, but it should be a byproduct of our relationship with Christ. You talk about it like you love the Lord Jesus Christ so much, I can't help but talk about it. The disciples, they said in the book of Acts, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They spoke with great boldness. It didn't matter whatever else was going on. Every circumstance, they wanted to talk about Christ. And what I'm saying is, as you walk with Jesus, you learn to love him more and to want his presence and to love his word. You can't help but tell other people about it. When I was in Bible college, we had this kid that rode one of our buses. His name was Lance. Lance was kind of a trouble kid, I'll never forget. He would come on that bus. He was from a rough area of Knoxville. He would come on that bus, and he would jump over the seats, and he would kick kids, and he would put his head out the window. Just a lot of trouble at first. But I remember, Lance, you gotta calm down. You gotta sit down. Please don't kick that person. Don't lick the window. That's disgusting. You know, all these rules that we had to give him. Lance came on the bus one day, and he was quiet. I sat down next to him. "Lance, what's the matter, bro? What's going on, man?" He said, "I'm just having a rough time at home." I was able to give him the gospel there on that bus seat. and he bowed his head and he accepted Christ as his Savior, this little kid Lance got up from that bus, and when he got off that bus at the church, he ran up to everybody he could and he said, "I got saved today." He couldn't help but talk about it. The thing that happened in his life, he couldn't help but talk about it. "Hey, I don't even know who you are, but I got my name written down in heaven. Hey, I got saved today. I got my name written down in the heaven." And he'd come up to me, "Oh, Brother Big Ears, I'm so excited I got saved today. When can I get baptized?" That's that Tennessee right there. He was excited because he tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And he wanted to tell everybody else about it. He had that holy heartburn. And the closer you get to Christ, the more your heart will burn for him. Churches have lots of programs and lots of things, and that's good. You ought to have programs, and you ought to have organization and do those types of things. But what our world needs is Christians that are passionate followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just something we do on Sunday. He's our life. I like what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. Christ, who is our life. Everything else is second place. I say this often, but God is not a part of your big picture. He is the big picture. We need Christians with heartburn. Where's the heartburn? Do you have heartburn? Somebody says, "Yes, Brother Kevin, I have heartburn." Do you have a Tums? I'm not talking about that heartburn. Where is your burning desire to live for Christ, to walk with him, and to share him with others? If anything, this Resurrection Sunday, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, but it ought to renew our desire to tell other people. It ought to renew our desire to walk with him and talk with him. And to yearn and long, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Where is that desire? It's a walk that's personal. It's a wanting of his presence. It's a word of power. And it's a witness to people. Let's commit ourselves to following the Lord passionately, not just as a set of rules, but because we love him for what he did for us, because he first loved us. Remember tonight that he is our life. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And I pray that you'd bless the word that was preached tonight. Help us, Lord, to love you more because of the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.